The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Congratulations to Emma Wyatt, the real national champion in the women's 500 freestyle that America, or at least those of us with common sense, recognized back in 2022, but now the record books have to recognize as well.
It has been a long fight, and that was the voice of Riley Gaines, another important voice locally, Paula Scanlon, who you've gotten to know, especially at various events like the one in Bucks County, where Paula appeared and was so inspirational. Paula Scanlon really changed her course, I guess, of life and history and career. As the headlines have said, that they're agreeing to revert records, a written apology, policy changes. The CNN headline said how UPenn reached a deal with the White House over trans athletes and $175 million in federal funding. Where CNN, as usual, misses the mark. Everybody else except, you know, the women who were disrespected and shoved into the shadows, they don't put that in their headline, typical of CNN, as they continue to say trans ban rather than say protecting women's rights and upholding women's rights. So honored, as always, to be joined by Paula Scanlon. Hey, good morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. Love getting on here.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, what's your reaction? I mean, first of all, UPenn, they did reach a deal. They wanted the $175, $176 million in the federal funding, so they get it now. What do you see as, do you feel that this is just the beginning, or do you feel some level of closure?
You know, honestly, both. I do think this is just the beginning. I think it's really shown other universities even that you have to come to the negotiation table, that you should come to the Trump administration and say, what can we do to get this federal funding back? And it's not like we're asking them to do much, right? It says, hey, can you just amend your policies and say that you're going to comply with what Title IX was originally intended to do and apologize to the female athletes that were discriminated against? I mean, it wasn't like we were asking Penn to bend over backwards and change things or fire anyone. I mean, it really was not a big ask that they were asked to do. So I really see this as the beginning. I think a lot of other universities I would like to see respond in similar manners. But in terms of the overall fight, I mean, this is just the first step. Again, we have to see widespread change in this country. We still have even full states that are not complying with Title IX, that are insisting boys deserve to play in women's sports. And I think we still have a lot of work left to do.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, across the board, I mean, this, it's a deal, so it's not a court order. And so, you know, part of this, and I am concerned about, Paula, is that because they agreed to it, there's not a precedent such as if it had gone to court, let's say. I know there are some civil things, you know, that have been going on, civil suits by some of the victims of this, even your former fellow swimmers and so on. But I'm talking about, you know, establishing laws that protect women in sports. Are you concerned that, let's just say, another administration takes over, that they could just revert back to this? Or do you think they've learned their lesson?
You know, they absolutely could, and that is, of course, something I'm worried about. But I think what I'm relying on and what gives me a lot of hope is just seeing how much this issue has shifted things, right? I grew up in the Northeast. Pretty much everyone I knew is a diehard Democrat. And there are people who quite literally hate every other viewpoint that I hold, but agree with me on this one. And I think what that shows me is the Democrats are going to have to shift their to match their voter base. I mean, their own voter base does not agree with this. And that's something we've been able to really shift in the last couple of years. I mean, looking back to where I was in 2021, being a 21-year-old college student afraid in my dorm to even say that Leah Thomas was a man, or to even say I was uncomfortable with him in the locker room, to where we are today, where it's widespread and mainstream and people from all different backgrounds and all different political ideologies are comfortable saying out loud, yeah, the dudes on the sports teams, the women's sports teams, not such a good idea. And so, of course, I'm nervous the next administration, if it's not a favorable one, could do something and change these policies. But we have to look at where we are culturally and how we've changed people's minds on this. And again, it's really beyond politics at this point. It's just a conversation that a lot of people agree with.
You know, I noticed, you know, on your profile on social media, on formerly Twitter, on X, it's at Paula Y. Scanlon. And then you have a cross, survivor of the Ivy League indoctrination system. And, you know, all opinions are your own, external director at Early Vote Action, and a senior fellow. What's going on with New Jersey? I saw over the weekend you were trying to, you know, recruit more people to make sure they're registered to vote with Early Action.
Absolutely. You know, I actually was not there able to join the shore. I mean, a little, actually had a loss in the family this weekend. So
I'm sorry.
Been dealing with that a little bit. No, it's all right. But sadly, I did have to miss the shore this weekend, which I was so excited to be there for. But the good news is that the team did a great job. We got so many new voters registered. We even got some Pennsylvania voters registered, which is wonderful to see. And really just people are tired of bad leadership. They're tired of really the regime, for lack of a better word, that they have in New Jersey right now. And, you know, people want to see change. And I think what we're really seeing is this women's sports issue. I mean, things like that, these common sense issues that used to be agreed upon with everyone, now people are saying, okay, well, I don't want to support a party that doesn't know what a woman is. I don't want to support a party that, you know, can't acknowledge free speech and basic rights and wants to just raise taxes and increase spending and all these different things. So that's really what we saw on the shore this weekend. And again, the momentum is there, and we're really excited for New Jersey and for just people starting to wake up.
And, you know, I always look at your social media posts. You were talking about affordability issues in New Jersey and people who work in New York. What do you, when you are talking to people as part of early action, what are you hearing are the biggest issues? Is it the economy, the economy, the economy?
Definitely a big one. I think that's, of course, something. I mean, we're looking at just at prices, you know, being way, way, way up in New Jersey and just out of control. And I think people, what I hear from the most people, which I find fascinating, is that they said most of their friends have fled the state. And so I think that that's something that a lot of people are having a hard time with. They're saying, well, all of my closest friends have now moved out because they can't afford it. Even if you're a renter, rent prices are high. Even I hear from landlords saying, well, all the burden is put on me and I don't even know what to do. I can't charge my renters more, right? And homeowners are saying the same thing. So it's really every category of housing that you're in, people are complaining about these prices and feeling not represented and not heard by the current governor. And I think the funniest one, again, I hear all the time is people being so upset that their best friends have left the state, that they want their friends to come back. They want them to feel like they can move back. And especially since, you know, northern New Jersey is such a commuter city for New York, They want to be there. They want to have more New Yorkers want to move over to their state and commute into New York City, and especially with a lot of the new tolls and the all the different stuff going on in New York, they're feeling like they can't even fight back for their citizens there as well. So that's something we hear from a lot of people, definitely.
I saw you over the weekend, Paula Scanlon, commenting on Elon Musk's new American Party, although he put out that it was false, that there was an actual FEC, you know, filing. So we're waiting for that word. But you had some questions about his new party and thinking about libertarians. What's your take on Elon Musk creating this third party?
You know, yeah, it's something really challenging. I think ultimately, I think the majority of Elon supporters nowadays do fall under the Republican realm. And so I hate to see him sort of divide our party up a little bit. But what I will say is, again, it's not really clear what it is he's intending to do. It's not clear if he's going to be running candidates in widespread races or even, you know, federal ones or local ones or even, you know, state government. It's not clear to me. What I do know is that Elon Musk is involved with a lot of different ventures at all times. Yeah. I think politics is obviously something he's so new to. And so, you know, for him, he's always looking to do the next greatest, best thing. Yeah. And of course, if you're in politics, starting a party sounds like the best, greatest thing to do. and I think that that's right. I mean, I think that that sounds like sort of, it seemed to be something like, well, I can just lead it. That's great. I'll be the leader. And again, I'd love to track and see what he ends up doing. But yeah. I do think that, you know, if I had to bet, I'm betting on Trump on this one, and he will find a way out to come back to him or to work together or all those different things. So, but we'll track it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Paula Scanlon, everybody get involved, especially for Jersey. We're watching you. It's a good day.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.